And we want to welcome everybody that's come to be with us. Glad to have you. What we want to talk about is some questions. Questions that I would be wise to consider. Questions that anybody with any concern of himself would be wise to consider. What are these questions? But what we're about to talk about is a fact that no one can deny. I can't deny it. It's a fact that everyone must sooner or later deal with, whether I like it or not. I've got to deal with these questions. Our Lord Jesus Christ once lived in this world, as Roland taught. He lived in this world. God purposed in Christ to have a people. He stood as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He sent him forth in time, in his time, to work out and provide a perfect righteousness for his people by his perfect obedience of life. And not only to work out and to provide a righteousness for them to look for in his obedience as their substitute, but to give himself for his people under the wrath of God, to suffer the penalty of God against them and to put away their sin once and for all by the sacrifice of himself. So our Lord Jesus Christ lived in this world. He walked among men. He became our substitute. He walked among men. He was a real man. He was God incarnate in human flesh, but he became a man. He was as much man as if he wasn't God, and as much God as if he wasn't a man. He was 100% God and 100% man. Therefore, he was able to take upon him the form of a servant and to meet all the requirements that God required of him, the Son of God, didn't he? He was able to meet all those requirements in justifying his people before God by his perfect obedience unto death. He had to be obedient unto death as a substitute for his people. He must take their place. He must honor God by serving their law to every jot and tittle. He must die under the wrath and penalty of God against sin under that law. He must die. He must satisfy that law completely. So he lived in this world. He became a man. He walked among men. He died as a cursed felon upon the cross of Calvary, didn't he? Evil men took him and crucified him. And those evil men, when we look at them, now that's all of our nature, as Roland taught. The only reason that wasn't me is by the grace of God. The only reason that wasn't you is by the grace of God. As I said before, the only difference between Charles Manchin and Charles Spurgeon is the grace of God. You know who Charles Manchin is? He killed people, didn't he? And he set himself up as a God, didn't he? And people did kill people because of him, didn't they? They looked to him as some kind of God or something. And they killed people and slain people. You know what that was? That was his nature. God just let him go and allowed him to do what he did. If God would completely let us go, withdraw his restraining power from us, we'd kill one another. That's our nature. Man's nature is not what he does. Man's nature is who he is. You see what I'm saying? Man by nature is a sinner. He lost it all in Adam, didn't he? He's a sinner. He's conceived in sin. He's shapen in iniquity. He come forth from his mother's womb as a sinner. He's a sinner in his heart, in his natural heart. He's a sinner in word. He's a sinner in deed. Well, you may say, well, I was not a bad sinner. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. But the only reason that you was not a bad sinner, as the way you interpreted, is because God restrained me from being so. You see what I'm saying? The only reason that I haven't killed somebody or done something terribly drastic is because of God's restraining grace. He restrains all men to a certain point, don't he? And he allows all men to go to a certain point. You see what I'm saying? But he restrains men. If he didn't restrain people, this world would be destroyed. There would be nobody. But he restrains men by his restraining grace. God has purposed in Christ, and God has purposed to go through the world the way that he has planned to do so. And this is the way he's going to do it, you see. He allows evil men to do evil to work out his own good and perfect will, just as he works his will in the hearts of his people. He allows it all to happen. God's still in control. You see what I'm saying? He's in control. Nothing happens without God either allowing it by his permissive will or by his directive will. God works in his people to direct his will, but God lets people go and they do anything. You see? That's why, as Roland talked about the war we're having in Iran, in Iraq, in these places, that's why those people are killing in the name of their God. You see that? He's allowing that, ain't he? They're killing in the name of their God. They don't know God. This is not the God of the Bible. So that's what we want to talk about, the God of the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ that God sent into the world. He walked among men. He died as a cursed felon upon the cross in the place and room instead of these people, instead of men, didn't he? So I am thankful for that fact. I'm thankful. And I have four questions I want to consider. I want to consider these questions, and every thoughtful person ought to be give a satisfactory answer to himself of these questions. First of all, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he is who the Word of God, who God says he is. He's not someone that God don't say he is. The Lord Jesus Christ is who God says he is in his word. And so that's what we're concerned about. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he my representative? Is he my substitute? Did he work out a righteousness for me? Did he honor God's law? Did he suffer the wrath of God against me? And do I not have any condemnation in him? He suffered every jot and tittle of God's law that I disobeyed against me. He suffered it every bit. He gave his life for me. So men and women talk about Jesus. You know, we have people that says, sweet little Jesus boy. He's not little Jesus boy. He's the Son of God. He's the representative of his people. He's the satisfier of God's justice. Sin's debt has been paid. But they talk about Jesus. Jesus will save you if you will let him. You don't let God do anything. He doeth according to his will in the armies of the heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? If God works in a man, it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not what I do for God, it's what God does in me and for me. You see that? Christ took upon him my nature, and he represented me before God in the obedience of the law. And he took my place as my substitute, and suffered the wrath and condemnation of God against me. You see that? The songs which they write about him, they don't reveal him as he is in Holy Scripture. Many, many songs. I'm not saying all. In the movies they make about him. They make movies about him and they get a man to play the image of him. Salvation is not in no earthly image. You see what I mean? We have all kinds of pictures that people declare this is Christ and that's Christ. But this is not Christ. Christ works in the heart. Yeah, one day we'll see him as he is, but until we see Christ, as our substitute, as our Lord and our Savior, who took our place, who represented us, who suffered the penalty of God against us, and we're made free in Him. You see that? We're made free in Him. They write books about Him. But who really is He? Who is the Son of God? To see who the Son of God is, we must look into the pages of Holy Scripture. Who God says He is. Jesus Christ, God says in His Word that He is the eternal God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are three, but three in one. I can't explain that, can you? But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God the Son also. See that? He is God the Son. The Scripture of both the Old and New Testament in the Old Testament proclaim that Christ is God. In Isaiah 9:6, He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given in His name." That man that came into the world, God incarnate in human flesh, in His name, He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. I can't explain that, can you? Christ, the one who came in human flesh, is called the Mighty God. He's called the Everlasting Father. See, this son that's born, this child is born, this son is given by God. The Prince of Peace. You see that? He is the Mighty God. That's so. He's the Mighty God. Him being who He is did not leave anything undone. You see what I'm saying? He worked out and provided a righteousness for His people. He suffered the wrath and penalty of God against them. Therefore, they are justified through the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not justified apart from Christ. We're not justified because we're good people doing good things. I told you who we are by nature. But we are only justified in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anything good to come out of us, it's something that God has placed in us to His own glory, ain't it? It sure is. It's something God's placed in us. In John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God." That's talking about Christ, ain't it? "And the Word was God." Can you explain that? I can't. But the Word that was with God is God. See? In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word that was God was made flesh and dwelt among us. He came in the flesh to represent and to die for. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in Romans 9:5, He said, "Whose are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh?" You see that? Christ came, who is over all. Christ over all. God blessed forever. He's over all God. See that? He's blessed of God, yes, but He's over all God. Blessed forever. He is God the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. By Him. You know, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." Him that was with God. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So He is the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. We are kept by the power of God through faith. He's the Sustainer, ready to be revealed in His time. He is God, our Savior. He has saved us from our sins. He's God over all. "I'm the Father of one. He that seen Me have seen the Father." "The heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly man. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in Him, and the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we in Him." man is in Christ, he's in God. You see that? You can't be in one apart from the other. So, he is God our Savior. While he was up on this earth, our Lord claimed to be God. He said, he that seen me have seen the Father. I and my Father are one. And his apostles worshiped him as God. Christ is the eternal Son of God, ain't he? His apostles worshiped him as God. 1 Timothy 1:1 said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior. Our Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior, ain't he? He's God, our Savior. Did he not accomplish what he came to do? He accomplished it to every jot and tittle. He's equal in power. He's equal in wisdom. He's equal in glory. Being with the Father and the Holy Spirit. It makes no difference who denies his divinity. He's still who he says he is. Every true believer knows that in him dwelleth, in Christ, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, as a man, God in Christ, the Son of God, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What is the Godhead? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's the fullness of the Godhead. In him dwells the three. I can't understand that. In him. We have this witness in our hearts by the grace and power of God, don't we? God have worked in us by his power and his spirit to reveal Christ to us, caused us to come to faith, give us faith, to believe on him, and causes us to rest in him and in him alone. Our Savior became a man, but he is the perfect man. He is the God-man. See, he is the God-man. He became perfect man. He is our mediator. There's one God. See that? One mediator. The man Christ Jesus. See that? We do not pretend to understand the mysteries of God. We can't fathom the mysteries of God. We believe them, yes, but we can't understand them. One day we will, but not now. We don't understand the mysteries of God, but we believe them by the grace of God with all of our heart. We look and we trust and we rest in Christ by the grace of God, because God has given us grace. He's gave us faith. Faith comes from God. Faith does not come from man. You see that? But Christ was a real man. And he lived upon this earth in perfect righteousness. Him being who he was, did what he did perfectly. He died, didn't he? He rose again. His death was sufficient to put away all sin by the sacrifice of himself. He ascended back into heaven, didn't he? He's seated at the right hand of glory. He's seated in power and majesty and honor and glory, ain't he? And in his time, he'll come again, won't he? He'll come again and receive his people unto himself, that where he is, there they shall be also. So why did the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come into this world? He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will. Not when we talk about his will. His will is not individually or separate from the Father. The Father's will is his will. His will is the Father's will. But he came down to heaven not to do his own will in that regard, but to do the will of him that sent me. See, the wrath of God is against sin. And Christ come to do the will of God, of him that sent him, to put away sin, to justify men before God. So I came down from heaven not to do but the will of him. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me. Of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, not a one. Every one that the Father gave God in eternity past before the foundation of the world, he shall have them and be with them in glory by his own power. You see that? So he came to do the Father's will. He said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book." Talking about this book. "In the volume of this book, it testifies of me." His word, all through Scripture, from Genesis through Revelation, if we see it in the right light, we see Christ. It testifies of Him. He came to do the Father's will, to do the will of God. He came to lay down His life for His sheep. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep." You see that? "I lay down my life for the sheep." Said, "She shall bring forth a son," talking about Mary, "and thou shalt call His name Jesus." What does Jesus mean? It means Savior, see? "For He shall save His people from their sins." Not no maybe or in doubt, but He shall. He did. He saved His people. He put away their sin before God, didn't He? We have sin in this flesh, as Roland told you, but He put away my sin between me and God. He shall save His people. He gave His life for His people. He suffered the just condemnation of God against them. So, in 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners," Paul said, "of whom I am chief." He came to save. Is that what He did? You see what I'm saying? Did Christ save those whom He came to save? Or did He come to save everybody in this world? Are there people in hell that Christ saved? No, they're not. He knows who He's going to save. I don't. Nobody's saved without the grace and power of God. And it's God that has to administer that according to His own will. But He came to save His people, whoever they are. He said, "I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lay down His life for the sheep." He giveth His life for the sheep. He came to lay down His life. That's what He came to do, wasn't it? To lay down His life for the sheep. In John 10:18, it says, "No man taketh it from me." No man takes my life. "But I lay it down of myself." I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. "This commandment have I received of my Father." As the substitute, the Son of God, the substitute for His people, the Father sent Him into the world. The Father gave Him the commandment, didn't He? To lay down His life. He laid down His life for His people. He put away their sins by the sacrifice of Himself. He who laid down His life, now don't get me wrong, the Son of God is God the Son. I can't understand that, but God's Son came into the world. He came to die as the substitute of His people. He came to die in their room instead, in their place, to suffer their just condemnation. He delivered them from the curse of the law by satisfying God's holy law. That's the only place that it's ever been satisfied is through Christ. Nobody else can satisfy God's holy law. To satisfy God's law, you must be holy as God. See what I'm saying? But He, being who He was, satisfied God's law. He honored it. He kept it as a man. He suffered the penalty of God as a man and laid down His life. What has the Son of God done? What did He do? He finished the work that the Father gave Him to do. Right? That's what He said. I finished the work. I have glorified Thee. I've honored Your holy name. Holy, holy, holy. I've honored Your name. I've glorified You on earth in the form of a servant. Now, O Father, glorify Me with the glory which I had with Thee before the world ever began. Before the foundation of the world, the glory that the Son, I and my Father are one. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, dwell in one. He said, glorify Me with the same glory which I have with you before the foundation of the world. The work of redemption of the souls of God's people is finished. It's finished. There's many that don't believe yet, but they shall believe. They shall. They were redeemed. They shall be brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall despair of themselves in the light of God and fall prostrate before God because of their sin. But their strength, their faith, their trust, their rest, their hope, their peace, their joy, their comfort, their love is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died in our place, in our room instead. He satisfied the claims of God's holy justice, which only He can do. He satisfied the penalty of the law, didn't He? The law says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Everybody has sinned and come short of God's glory. Everybody, as long as they're in this life, will sin, even warring against it. You see what I'm saying? The child of God, as Roland says, has two natures. He has the nature of Adam. He has the nature of the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're at war continuously with one another. Spirit against flesh and flesh against spirit. Until he leaves this life, he will have that problem. He'll be at war. But he has put away the sin of his people. There's no confliction between me and God. There's no condemnation between me and God. He's put away my sin. The justice of God has been satisfied. Christ has died. He has ascended. He's rose back to the Father. He's seated at the right hand of God. He has obtained eternal redemption. Where is he at? He's in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's our Savior. He's the God-man. He is exalted at the right hand of God, expecting, not hoping, but expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. See that? He's not hoping for his enemies to be made his footstool. He's expecting it. He has already come. He did what all that was required of him as a substitute. He suffered the wrath and penalty of God. He's ascended back into heaven. He's expecting. He's expecting. He's seated as a high priest forever. He's a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's seated in Zion. He's making intercession for those who come to God by him. See that? He sits upon the throne of sovereign dominion. He's above all and over all. All things is under his power. All things is in his control. He doeth according to his own will. He rules, he reigns, he governs. Nothing happens without him, either by his permissive will or directive will, right? He is King of kings. He's Lord of lords. The Bible says the king's heart is in his hand. And as a river of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. He's talking about the kings of this earth. The president's heart is in his hand, whether he knows it or not. And as a river of waters, he's not going to do anything that God is not going to let him do. You see that? He'll either allow him to do, if he sins, he allows him to do that. If he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he works grace in his heart to believe. He sits upon the throne of sovereign dominion. He's in control. There's nothing that happens without him. He's sovereign. He's in his serenity. He's king. He's awaiting the fulfillment of all things. All things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of the prophets concerning him and concerning all things about him. You see that? All things must be fulfilled. The salvation of his people must come. It must come in the time that he has provided for it. It will come. The defeat of all of his enemies must come. He's not defeated them all yet in that regard. He still allows them to be in this world to do those evil things and allows everything to go on in that regard, don't he? But one day, everything's going to be brought to a stop. You see that? When he defeats completely those enemies and he brings his sons unto glory, whoever they are. He's Christ. He's the Savior. He's King. He's God. Do I trust in him? Is he the one I trust in him? Is he the Jesus that I'm talking about? Is he the Lord that I believe in? Is he the Lord that I trust? Is he the Lord that I rest in? Is he the one who have worked grace in my heart? Did he work grace in my heart? Do I serve him? Do I honor him? Do I look to him? Another thing. Do I love him? Huh? Do I love Christ? He that loveth not knoweth not God. If you might come to some knowledge of Christ, have a head knowledge, and that's a dangerous thing. You'll have the knowledge of the Word, I'm telling you, the knowledge of the Word in your head, and you say, I'm justified by the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His blood and righteousness only. I have nothing within myself. And you come to a point, you say, well, it don't make any difference. I'm God's son and that's it. Whatever I do or whatever I say, it doesn't make any difference. God will provide for that. Christ had died for that. No, it does make a difference. It does make a difference. If I know Christ by the grace and power of God in my heart, if I'm a new creation, I do love Christ. And I'm concerned about the gospel. I'm concerned about my life. I'm concerned about what I do before God and before men in honor to God, my Savior, my love, my life. My desire is unto Him by God's grace. Well, if I'm a child of God and if I love God, I'm not going to be carried away into all things. Yes, I'll be carried away at times. But I'll not go out into this world and act like that I've never come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart and come to faith in Christ and come to love Him. You see what I'm saying? We serve Him. Not to be saved out of faith. We serve Him because we love Him. If we don't serve Him because we love Him, we don't know Him. Well, I know about Him. Yeah, we might know about Him, a lot of things about Him. But until we know Him in our hearts and love Him, we do not know Christ. You understand what I'm saying? It's not enough to know about Christ. We must know Christ. That's it. We must know Christ if we're accepted of God. We must love Christ. You're in His love, not that we love, but that He loved. But we do love because He first loved us, and He shed abroad His love in our hearts and brought us to love Him. If He had not brought us to love Him, we would not love Him. That's not our nature. But by the grace of God, when He works a new nature in a man, he will love Christ. Do I know Christ? Do I love Christ? Is He my Savior? Is He my King? Do I look to Him? Do I rest in Him? Do I follow after Him? Do I exalt Him? Do I extol Him? Is my life hid with God in Christ? Is He my desire? Huh? Is Christ my desire? To honor Christ? To love Christ? To obey God? To exalt God? Is that my desire? If that is, then you love Him. If you truly desire it in your heart. If you've been given a heart, you have a heart of faith, but you have also a heart of love. You know, the Bible says faith without works is dead. That's talking about not works that we do to gain favor with God, but works that you do out of faith to God and out of love for God. See that? Faith without love is dead. We can say that too, can't we? He that loveth not knoweth not God. Well, I know about God. I know His Word. I know more of the Word than you do. You might do it. You might know a lot more than I do in the Word of God. But do you love Christ? You see that? Do you love Christ? That's the main thing. Do I have faith in Christ? If I do truly have true faith, then I love Christ. If I don't love Christ, I don't have true faith. Makes no difference what I know in my mind. If I don't love Him, I don't have true faith. Well, there's true faith, there's true love.